of this recording, Arkansas 24, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah remembered the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I started at the University of Arkansas in kindergarten in the summer of 1940. At the time, my father was a high school agriculture teacher in Desark in Prairie County, Arkansas, but we spent the summers in Fayetteville, and he would go to graduate classes at the time. So I was enrolled in kindergarten in Peabody Hall, and that worked out good because we were staying at my grandmother's, and she lived on Leverett Street, a block and a half to the north of the campus. Only thing that I had to do that required any great skill was to cross Maple Street. But the first day of kindergarten, they decided to give me a mathematics entrance exam. They didn't tell me that was what they were going to do. They was a young lady who was getting a bachelor's degree in education, was going to be a school marm. She was probably a junior or a senior. She handed me a rubber ball. And she said, "I want you to bounce this rubber ball, and I want you to count. And when you get as far as you can count, then you can quit bouncing." Well, she didn't know it, but I could have counted farther than she could. I was good at counting. But I was pretty poor at bouncing balls. So I took that ball in my hand, and I threw it down, and it bounced up, and I missed it. So that was one, and I stopped. She tried every trick in her bag of tricks to get me to count farther. But I had heard her instructions to begin with, count as many as you bounce it, and I wasn't about to have those instructions changed just because I couldn't catch the ball. So after a while, she decided that was not really my great skill, and I think she put me down as deficient in mathematics. Took me to another room and tried to get me to do some finger painting. I wasn't particularly interested in finger painting, and I was still kind of annoyed about my inability to catch the bouncing ball. But I was stuck in that room with my blue finger paint and a piece of paper. And I didn't think I was ever going to get out of there until I developed the very clever idea, if I have no finger paint, then they won't make me paint. So I ate the blue finger paint. I got to take a note home with me, which this young lady tried to explain to my mother what had happened. And she says, "I don't think the blue finger paint will do him any harm, but it might cause his stool to be blue." And that was my introduction to the University of Arkansas in the summer of 1940.